Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Radwan Ziyadeh, who's the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. He also co-founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C., and previously he was the editor-in-chief of Tahrirat magazine and secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. Welcome to Background Briefing, Radwan Ziyadeh.
Thank you for having me.
And the Syrian army and the Assad regime are claiming victory and that they have retaken the town, the strategically important town of Qusair, which is on the Lebanese border. How much of this is a setback for the Syrian rebels and the Free Syrian Army, who apparently they've lost a number of rebels, have died, and others have surrendered? And, of course, if you surrender to Hezbollah or the Assads, I think your fate is very much in question.
I think this is a message not only for the Syrian opposition, but also to the friends of Syria, and above all of that, to the United States, because this is a victory not for the Assad regime. The Assad regime has lack of human sources, but a big victory for Hezbollah. The ability for Hezbollah to involve and to play a key role in the city and to be able to retake the city, Qusair, inside Syria, shows that the Hezbollah commitment to fight the Syrian people and to be backing, not only backing, but also to fight instead of the Assad militia and mafia. This is why then, the message for the international community and for the United States, if they want to be a silent, then will be a much more for the Hezbollah, not only in the in the border city, in the city of Qusair, maybe in other cities. Otherwise, Hezbollah will take a role in Aleppo, in Damascus, and other areas. And if Hezbollah now declare a victory in Al-Qusair, maybe in the coming days, Hezbollah will declare a victory in other areas.
Well, apparently, the Free Syrian Army have been starved of weapons, despite the fact that the European Union have decided to lift the embargo on arms to the Syrian rebels. So how much is the fact that the Free Syrian Army appears to be outgunned a factor in this?
This is actually the main reason that the Free Syrian Army, they have the courage, they have the belief to defend their own city and on Qusair, and to defend the civilians that are living in Al-Qusair. But they are heavy, heavy shillings, and the Assad regime is to use the helicopters, the fighter jets from the sky, and the Hezbollah fighters on the ground. And this is why the, when they lack of guns, lack of ammunition, they have nothing to do. This is a message that the United States and the Arabian Union, they have to understand and to step in to support the Free Syrian Army. Otherwise, the calculation of the Assad, it's now changed in its own side, where President Obama said that we have to change the calculation of Assad. But I think the calculation can change to be on the Assad side rather than the opposition side.
So what happened to the EU's promise of arms to the Free Syrian Army?
Let's keep promising. Give us promises. Nothing real in hand. There is no actually such real support on the ground for the Free Syrian Army. They keep giving us promises, but there is no such clear support on the ground. And that makes the situation quite difficult.
Again, I'm speaking with Radwan Ziadeh, who's the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute of International Affairs in London. He also co-founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C., and previously was the editor-in-chief of Tiriat magazine and secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. So what about threats now from the Free Syrian Army to carry the battle into Lebanon against Hezbollah, now that Hezbollah, according to what you just told us, Radwan Ziadeh, is really the reason why this town fell? Is Hezbollah vulnerable to attacks on other fronts?
It's now that's no more indication. Now Hezbollah, it's a full-scale involvement on the Syrian fight. And this is why the Free Syrian Army, they have no reason to actually to fight, even that inside Lebanon. We already, the Syrian conflict spill over to Lebanon. And the Hezbollah role of that gives a justification for the Free Syrian Army to shell Hezbollah areas inside Lebanon. And this is, it will be a long fight, with the same time that Lebanon will be the price of what Hezbollah did inside Syria.
So will this reignite the civil war in Lebanon?
It's a high chance and high probability for Lebanon to break again in a civil war, because you have Hezbollah from one side and you have the Salafi group, the Palestinian, from the other side, which actually they are supporting the Syrian people. They are no longer will accept to be silent, and this is why most probably it's easy to get the guns. And the fight will start in Lebanon. It's Lebanon will break down in a civil war again.
So what explains this reversal of fortune for the Assad regime? Many times the Turkish leadership, the American Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, the White House, over the last couple of years have said that Assad would fail. He would collapse. He would be finished eventually. But it looks as though not only has the Assad regime held on, they seem to be gaining ground. So, what explains?
We are very cautious of such comments coming from Secretary Clinton and the Secretary Kerry. About that, because this is statement irrelevant to what's going on the ground. If there is no support to the rebels, if there is no support to the Free Syrian Army, the Assad has no problem to evoke Hezbollah or Iranian fighters. We have a crazy leadership. It doesn't even that accept to step aside to save Syria, but even that has no problem actually to provoke a civil war in the whole region. It's now not only in Lebanon, but also in Iraq. I think that the international community, they have to understand how the Assad is dangerous is. And this is, they should act according to that. If they give the Assad more days, that means the whole region will be in danger.
But what we understand that the Russians are determined to support Assad, the Iranians are determined to support Assad, and Hezbollah is already sending its armies in to support Assad. What is your understanding? As an important member of the Syrian opposition, what is your understanding why the West and the Europeans and the Americans and the Turks are not matching what the Russians and the Iranians are doing?
I think that what the administration said, that they don't need quick victory for the opposition in Syria. But they don't, they have very short-minded vision. They don't know exactly the dynamics in, within the region. And this is why when they wait, they don't know strategically how things will go on. And this is exactly where the things in Syria is going to the full-scale civil war, not only in Syria, but in the whole region. This is something that the administration here, they don't understand. Even that they don't understand, they don't care, because they don't see an immediate threat to their strategic interests. But in the long run, of course, there is a huge threat to the U.S. National security issues and priorities.
So in other words, what you're telling us, Radwan Ziadeh, is that the Obama administration sees this as an ongoing struggle between the Free Syrian Army and the Assad regime, and you're saying that already the conflict is spreading into Lebanon and Iraq, and that they just don't get it, that this is already becoming a regional war?
Because for them, actually, they don't see any kind of involvement. They see if we need to involve, then it will be for the U.S. to fail to do anything or to help. Because as Senator Kerry, or Secretary Kerry said, we are too late to do anything to save Syria. And I think this is the case. If we've been pushing this administration to do more and more from the beginning, there is a clear indication from the beginning how things is going. But this administration doesn't want to do anything useful.
So what are you, as a member of the opposition and the Free Syrian Army and this coalition of fighters that it has, what are you going to do? I mean, what's your strategy now that you must feel completely abandoned?
We have other options. We have to continue fight. We have to continue struggle. And we have to rely only on our allies, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and other Arabic countries. We hope that the EU, France, UK can do more when they lift now the arm embargo. And we hope also the US, if they can move quickly, not just give statements and promises, which they... They can't fulfill all these promises anymore.
Well, do you think the fact that the French President, François Hollande, said today that there is mounting proof of chemical weapons use in Syria and this obliges the international community to act within the framework of international law, what is he suggesting to your mind?
How many times have we heard such kind of statements? I think the people who are working on the media, they already know that's been repeated for quite a number of times. But nothing come up with it. This is why we are very cautious to take this statement seriously if there is no action.
And what about these peace talks that Russia and the United States are trying
blah, blah. It's a blah, blah, peace talks, and everyone knows that. If the Assad is serious, why they actually launched this huge attack, not only in Qusair, in other areas, in Damascus suburbs. Everyone knows that there is no political solution on the table right now, and everything has to be come through with the calculation on the ground. Otherwise, I don't see that this peace talks has any promising ending to the Syrian conflict.
So when this struggle began over 2 years ago, it seemed to be fairly clear that I think about up to 80% of the country was opposed to the Assads and 20% are in favor. And just even in spite of the fact that the Assads control the military and the Muhabarat, the secret police, the assumption is that the majority would eventually prevail. So is this really a case where the Russians, the Iranians, and Hezbollah have really changed this calculus? And how much do you feel, as a member of the Syrian opposition, that your majority of the population in the country that you represent are going to continue the fight?
Exactly. This is the case, and this is the description. Because the Assad actually uses the state sources, the army and the security, and this is just to kill whatever, or to destroy this 80% of the population. And the international community allow him to do that with the support now. It's obvious that in the last 6 months he has lack of human sources. Now that he gets it from Iran and Hezbollah. Does the international community of the United States, they should allow that to happen? Actually, this is the question of the Obama administration, and this is the question of the West also to see if they allow that to continue. Or they should step in, take actions, and end the Syrian conflict and the crime.
But what you're telling us is that the Assads will just keep killing until they kill all of their opposition? Is that their strategy?
I don't see any other strategy. And it's a clear strategy, and for him it's working. Because he's gaining actually what he lost in the last 2 years, and this is for him. He doesn't care the Qusair, it's clear, because they have some very strong resolution from the UN Human Rights Council, very strong statements, but he doesn't care.
Well, Radwan Ziadeh, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Radwan Ziadeh, who is the founder and director of the Damascus Center for Human Rights Studies. He's also a visiting scholar at the Carr Center for Human Rights at Harvard University and a visiting fellow at Chatham House, the Royal Institute for International Affairs in London. He also founded and directed the Syrian Center for Political and Strategic Studies in Washington, D.C., and previously was the editor-in-chief of Tiriat magazine and secretary of the Syrian Organization for Transparency. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.